You guys can have a seat. If you have your Bibles, open those up to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, what a great way to start the day. Wow, so good. I hope that I can preach in such a way that it echoes everything that we've already kind of done here today. High expectations. We have been, as a church, walking through a series, the greatest sermon ever preached, by the greatest preacher who ever preached. Of course, that's Jesus Christ walking through the Sermon on the Mount. And this series has been called The Way. Did you know that before we were called Christians, the early Christians were called followers of the way? We were called followers of the way. Back in the book of Acts, that's what the term that they use, followers of the way. And it came out of, I believe, when Jesus made the statement in John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that every believer who believed upon Jesus were called followers of the way. Not because of what they believed, it was because of who they believed. It was because they believed that Jesus Christ, the God-man who was Jesus, right? His life, his death, his resurrection, that he was the only way to be reconciled to God, to be forgiven of sins and have eternal life forever. So they were followers of the way. Followers of the way. There's a great lesson for us right there as Christians that we don't follow this conservative, moralistic behavior modification system of rules and laws. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is not about what we believe. It is about who we believe. A person, a real life God-man, Jesus, right? We follow a person. And Jesus, of course, said that if we believe in him, we will follow him. That belief leads to following. He says, if you truly believe that I am the way, you will have a new nature, a new character, a new identity. You will live a certain way if you believe that I am the way, is what he said. And so Jesus' Sermon on the Mount has been showing us what that way looks like, the way of living. He has unloaded a list of things. He's talked about the way of blessing and the Beatitudes. Then he began to show us the way of all of these other things that we do as followers of Christ, the way to pray, the way to fast, the way to give, the way to have freedom from worry, the way to judge, and the way not to judge. And then last week, CJ kind of stepped up and showed us the way to live God-dependent lives by asking, seeking, and knocking. So this sermon is wrapping up. That's what Jesus is doing here today in our text. And like all sermons, they come to an end, right? Some come to end quicker than others, depending on who's preaching, right? But all of them have an end. And so Jesus is kind of in this place of wrapping up. And so what he does today in 12 through 14, he has one final statement in verse 12 to really just sum it all up. And then he's going to call us to respond to the sermon that we have heard thus far. First, let's look at the final statement. We'll be brief here. We'll get into the meat in just a moment. But this final statement of Jesus in Matthew 7:12 says this: so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You might have heard something like this to some degree. So whatever you wish to do, wish that others would do to you, do also to them. It's this idea of good, just being a good person kind of idea. But Jesus is talking here. This is not fortune cookie theology here. This teaching has been hijacked by many pagan religions, of course, and of moralism and all those things. But these are Jesus' words here. And in verse 12, here's what he's doing. He is summing up the entire sermon. He's actually summarizing all of the law and all of the prophets in this one statement. And some would say that he's actually summing up the bulk of the teaching of the entire Bible by his golden rule, is what it is typically called here. whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. Of course, when Jesus was asked in Matthew 22, what were his greatest commandments? Of course, he said the first one was to love God, and the second one was to love your neighbor as yourself. So here's an echo of that later on. It is this kind of community that Jesus is seeking to create that will shake the culture and turn the world upside down. This do unto others as you have done to you. I think he's talking to people who are living countercultural lives, and how to win them, how to win the culture is not to win them by the arguments that we have, but we win them by the lives that we live. That is the point, that is the heart of everything Jesus has been teaching us. This is the spirit of the law, the spirit of Jesus. This is the way of Jesus, the golden rule. Now, let's pause, because we are going to transition now, because the sermon has concluded. Kind of keeping your eye, even though my sermon hasn't concluded, and he's going to go on preaching in the next few weeks. But in your eyes, and you're thinking about just a moment, his sermon is finished. He just finished his final point. Now, what does all good sermons and all good preachers do at the end of their final point? They call to respond. They call to respond. Jesus refuses to let his listeners, he refuses to let them leave with admiration without action. He refuses to let them lead reflecting without responding. He isn't after their praise, he wants their practice. Or another way you could say that, Jesus, when he preached, he wasn't looking for a good sermon pastor. He was looking for good and right response from the hearers. If there is no right response, the entire sermon is meaningless. There is great danger with just admiring and reflecting a good sermon without application. So Jesus here is calling us to respond. To everything that he said, here is what he calls us all to do. And let's read it in 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. When I read this text this week, I thought of a time in my life where I kind of came to this fork in the road of my life, and I had to choose between two paths. And it took me back to, I guess it's been about 10 years ago, when I felt this call to vocational ministry. And I was in, many of you know my story, maybe you don't, I was in the marketplace. I was I was the director of gyms and health clubs in Nashville, and I kind of did the operation stuff, and that was my job, and I was enjoying my job. I love my job, and we were kind of cruising along life and comfort and kind of following the easy way, so to speak, climbing the corporate ladder. I knew how to do what I was doing, and it was easy for me. In fact, it was the way that most people went, right, climbing the corporate ladder, and I'm doing all of these things, And then I was confronted with this call to ministry. And I had to process some things, because this way was easy. I knew what to go here. That was easy. Everybody was going that way. It's comfortable. I knew how to do it. It wasn't going to shake up or cost my life. I could do this. And then I had this other pathway that was going to be hard. Few people were doing this. It was going to cause great stress, discomfort. It was going to cost me a lot, including a severe reduction in salary. And so I had these two different pathways, and I had to pick one or the other. One of those ways, so to speak, led to life, and the other one would lead to death for me. Now, all illustrations break down at some point. I'm not telling you that if you work in the marketplace that you're on the way to death. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we've all kind of been to this place where we have these fork in the road moments to choose in our life. And they can be the most important decisions in our life. Here today, Jesus is confronting us with this fork in the road, these two paths that we all must take in our lives. And he does this. He tries to help us to see what he's communicating today. He wants to give us, to give our minds some eyes to see the spiritual reality. So he uses a perfect illustration. He says there's these two gates. You're kind of walking along the road of life, so to speak. You're just kind of going around life, and all of a sudden you see two gates. This gate is wide. This gate is narrow. Once you get through the gate, this way is easy, this way is hard. On the pathway, this road has a lot of travelers. Most people are going there. And then this other pathway is very hard and it has few travelers. This way over here ultimately leads to destruction, death, and this way leads to life. So I want to talk to you about these two ways and break these down and what Jesus says here. We're going to zoom in on them. Now, I want you to know something here. It is important to know that both paths sell heaven, not hell. Like, no one's saying, hey, come to our group. We're all going to hell. Like, no one's promoting that. Right? The devil doesn't do that. Like, he's way more deceiving than that. So everything, both pathways are selling and promising life and heaven, but actually only one of these ways is the way to life. So let's look at the first way first. This is the way of death. I know that's not a popular point in a sermon, but it is the way that Jesus is teaching here, right? The way to death, let's look at it. First, there is a wide gate. A wide gate to get into the way of death. It's easy to get in. You can believe anything that you want to get in through this gate. To each his own. As long as you are sincere in your heart about what you believe, you get in. It's a be you, do you gate. If your thing is universalism, where just everybody just gets in, justification by death, that's cool. If your thing is pluralism, and you believe there are many ways, a plurality of ways to get to God, that he's just on this mountain and everybody's going the same direction, that's all right. If your thing is science or Scientology or meditation or spiritualism, it's all good. Just come on in. All things are accepted at the wide gate. If moralism is your way, come on. You just have to be a good person. Like, you get in if you're just a good person, if you avoid, like, jail and the big sins, you get in. Plenty of room for all people. You just have to enter the gate where everybody thinks they are a good person. And when you go through the wide gate, you can bring anything with you. See, it's so wide that you can take all of your life's luggage with you. You don't have to leave anything behind. You take all your toys, and trinkets, and your money, and your cash, and your cars. You don't have to drop anything to go through this gate. It's very, very wide. There's enough room for you to bring all of your old friends with you. They can come. You don't have to leave them. Your old loves, they can come with you. You don't have to leave anything behind. Listen to what John Stott says about this idea. The gate leading to the easy way is wide, for it is a simple matter to get on the easy road. There is evidently no limit to the luggage we can take with us. We need leave nothing behind, not even our sins, our self-righteousness, or our pride. They can all come too. Once you get through the gate, the way is easy. It's what Jesus says in the text. It's spacious, a roomy road, like this 12-lane easy street that you get to walk on. It's popular because it's comfortable. This way doesn't grate against our dreams, our selfish ambitions. There are no signs on this pathway that tell us which way to go, because we can just go our own way. No rules, no laws, no condemnation. You can live on the corner of freedom and independence on this road. Feels good. You're applauded as you walk through this path. The wide way is the woke way. You can be any gender that you want to. Heck, you don't even have to have a gender. You can do whatever you want to. You can even call yourself a furry on the wide way. If you don't know what that is, you can Google it later. You can do anything you want to do, be anything that you want to be, because your truth is truth on the wide way, on easy street. On easy street, people overlook evil. They tolerate evil. They accept evil. They celebrate evil. And then they persecute you if you call it evil. This is the easy street. You can do whatever you think is right. Listen to Judges 21:25, as the Israelites often thought they could do what they wanted to do as well. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You see why most people choose that road? There's a lot of freedom there, right? It's exhilarating. It's life, no condemnation, no judgment. You can do anything that you want to do. This is why Jesus says that this pathway is traveled by many. You will never be alone on Easy Street. It's where everyone else is going. Seems right. Like you look around, you're like, guy, everybody's kind of going this way. They're doing it. I guess I'm supposed to do it. I don't want to kind of push against the grain. Plus, this way is kind of fun too, so I just want to keep going this way. Despite that it seems right, listen to what Proverbs 14:12 says. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way to death. Wow, sobering. The destination is death. Jesus says that even though the wide gate and the wide way, it's easy, feels good, living life, it's thrilling, it's exhilarating, freedom, even though it's all of those things, that eventually it comes to an end, it comes to a grave. I was reading a story today, or actually the other day, about this guy, this experienced skydiver. His name was Lester McGuire. And in 1988, he was a professional skydiver instructor and all these things. And so he was videoing all of his skydives. So you had like a body cam thing, and he's just videoing all the things. Well, he had done two jumps in that day, but on the third jump of the day, he strapped up, jumped out of the plane, and the video is capturing his entire jump, right? This is what's going on. And so he jumps out of the plane. You have audio, you've got video. He's just experiencing the thrill of a lifetime. Freedom. No restrictions. He's just free falling. He's a thrill seeker. He's caught up in the moment. It's awesome, right? Only a few minutes later, when he goes to pull his cord, Lester had forgotten to pack his parachute. He'd forgotten to pack it. He got so caught up in the busyness and the thrill of all of it that he forgot to pack his parachute. And about 100 feet from the ground, the audio and the video picked up his last words. You know what his last words were? Oh my God, no. People who are on Easy Street, the wide way where many go, they are like skydivers without a parachute. Walking through life, caught up in the busyness of life. It's thrilling. It's exciting. Everybody's doing it. But eventually, that life will come to an abrupt ending. And that abrupt ending is death, destruction, the wrath of God, eternal punishment from God forever. This is the teaching of Jesus. Now, when you read this way of death, you're not supposed to read it like this. Oh, the wide road, that's all the libs. That's all the people who skipped out on church this morning, and they're just home, they're at the lake, they're just chilling out. It's all those people. It's those people that on spring break, they go to Panama City Beach and get drunk. It's all of those people. Me, I'm in church. I'm conservative. I go to mission trips. No, no, no. Do not fall into the trap of thinking that, because the wide way, the easy way, has a pathway through the church. And many are in the church on the wide, easy street that leads to death. There is a wide, easy religious road that leads that way. It consists of praying a sinner's prayer, doing some religious things, maybe even going to a Christian school, but not taking seriously the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. Occasionally go to church, feel bad, go to God, I'll do better, throw money in the plate, leave, and live however you want to when you leave this place. Might you consider today, is that me? Is that me? But here's the good news. For anyone who thinks that they may be going that way or are on that way, Jesus says there is another way. And this, of course, is the good news of the gospel, the way to life. Let's look at the way of life. It has a narrow gate, not a wide gate, it's got a narrow gate. Now, on this, when Jesus says this narrow gate, he means it's not easy to get in. It's hard. It's so narrow that there's only one way to get in, not many ways to get in. Jesus saying, I am the gate. I'm the only way that you get in. He's talking about what is known as the exclusivity of Christ. Whereas the wide way is a wide path, it's fully inclusive. The way to life is exclusive, exclusively Jesus and only Jesus. John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 10:9. I am the door. That word translated also means gate. He says, I'm the gate. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Church, there are not many ways to God. In fact, if you believe there are many ways to God, you don't get in to the narrow gate. It is one way, and it is Jesus Christ. The exclusivity of Christ is really the foundation of Christianity. And you know how some people call us narrow-minded for believing that? I guess they're right. Narrow gate, narrow way, narrow-minded. I'll take that. I kind of thought about the story here about the exclusivity of Christ. What I thought of was back in 2016, there was a former celebrity pastor of Hillsong Church. His name was Carl Lentz. And Carl Lentz had an interview with Oprah, the non-spiritual, spiritualist, wide gate Oprah. And she asked him the question, Carl, are there many ways to God? Do you really believe that Jesus is the only way? Mega pastor Carl said, no, I don't think he's the only way. I believe that God is so loving that he just allows all people to come to him. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. We cannot deny the exclusivity of Christ. He is the gate. He is the only way to God the Father. You must trust in Christ's life, his death and Christ's resurrection. Again, for the forgiveness of sins, to be reconciled with God and have eternal life forever. It is only through Jesus, the narrow gate. I think another reason why Jesus said it's a narrow gate. Imagine a turnstile. You have to go through a turnstile one person at a time, right? You don't get to the Titans game and get down there and you go through as a group of people. It's an individual. It's an individual turnstile. So he's saying the kingdom of God, this narrow gate, you got to enter it one at a time. You don't all go in together. You don't all go in even as a family or a group of people. We have to enter it in one at a time. And another reason why it's a narrow gate, because at this gate, you don't get to take all of your life's luggage with you. You don't get to pack it all up. You don't get to take all of your love for money, all of your love for trinkets, all of your selfish ambition and all of your dreams, all of your old loves and your old ways and your old, you don't get to take them with you. You have to leave your pride and your goodness and your sin at the gate, or you don't get in. Jesus even said, you have to be willing to leave your own family behind if you're going through this gate. Now you see why it's so narrow and why so few people go through the gate. Once you get through the gate, then the way is hard. So it's not like narrow gate, all right, everything's going to be great. Healthy, wealthy, prosperity preaching, easy street. No, Jesus says, he doesn't hide the fact that it's a hard way. Like he doesn't put it down in the margins real small where you can't see on the top of the contract. It says the way is hard. It's going to be hard. Persecution will be certain. For those who desire to live a godly life, Paul said, you will be persecuted. The way is hard. Crosses have been carried in every age of Christianity, and it is the same for us. It's hard because we have to fight the enemies of sin, self,
and Satan now, right? That makes it hard. Because before, when we were on Easy Street, we're friends with sin, friends with self, and we're children of Satan. But now, our new nature, now I'm fighting, and that's just hard. Another reason that this way is hard is because when you're walking on this way, you are going to look foolish to the world. This way, you will be called a fool for believing this way and walking this way. But here's the beauty. Jesus Christ, or actually Paul does this. Paul calls us to live like holy fools. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. Paul is boasting about being a fool for Christ. You ever boasted about that before? I'm so glad I'm a fool for Christ. You see, if we're actually living like a fool for Christ, and the world, in the world's eyes, we look like fools, if we're actually doing that, then in the eyes of God, he is well pleased. We are fools for Christ. That is a hard thing though, right? It's a hard thing. There's nothing easy about following a man who lived a persecuted life. He preached an unpopular message, died, and then says, do what I do. There's nothing easy about that. The way is hard. And again, each argument builds on itself. Do you see now why there are so few travelers on this road? There's so few people around on this road, even though that John gave us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven in the book of Revelation, and he saw a multitude of saints, as numerous as sand on the seashore, clouds in the sky. I mean, just innumerable people in heaven. Even though that is a picture of kingdom of heaven, here in the way of life on earth, the travelers are few. We are a minority religion. Let's make sure we're clear on it. Don't be duped into thinking that America is a Christian nation. It should be, but it ain't. Don't be confused because we live in the Bible Belt that everybody around here is Christian. Jesus said, this way is traveled by very few. It doesn't matter where you live in the world. We are few. Of course, that can potentially feel lonely, right? Oh man, I'm all by myself and everybody else is overdoing that. You feel lonely, isolated, swimming upstream. But that's the beauty of the church, right? That we are not travelers traveling alone. That when we understand the beauty of Christ's church, we are never alone on this pathway. But you have to be a churched Christian in order to experience that. Now, it's a narrow gate, it's a hard way, the travelers are few, but then the beauty of this is that Christ gives us the destination, that those who enter the narrow gate persevere on the hard way, even though it's traveled by a few, that in the end, it leads to life. It leads to life. Whereas the wide road leads to the grave, the hard way leads to the garden. When Jesus says here life, here's what he meant. It refers to eternal life, that it does not begin when you die. Eternal life begins at the moment of justification. The moment you believe, the moment you are born again, you begin this eternal, abundant life. It's now and it's later. Jesus said in John 10:10 that he came to give us abundant life right now. And on our journey through life, narrow gate, hard way, he promises us in the midst of that, that he will continue to give us life and life abundantly in the midst of the path. And then, of course, yes, the final destination, future glory, unending fellowship and worship with the Lord Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. Only Christ can provide this life. Now, let's go to the response. Now, at the conclusion of Jesus' sermon, some would call him here giving an invitation. You know, that's Christian language, right? Oh, you gotta, do y'all do an invitation to your church? Why don't y'all do an invitation? We should give an invitation. Now, does Jesus give invitations to follow him in the scriptures? Absolutely, he does. Should churches give invitations to people to come to follow Jesus, right? To Romans 10, follow and confess that he is Lord. The answer is yes. But that's not what Jesus is doing here. Upon further examination and closer examination, Jesus is not calling for us for an invitation. He is commanding us. Look at verse 13 again. Enter the gate. So he's not doing a social experiment, crossing his arms and saying, here's the two pathways. You choose. It's up to you. I don't know what you're going to do, but I've given you two ways. That's not what he's doing. By his good grace and love, he knows the way to life is the way he wants us to go. And he says, enter this gate. It is a command. It is a command. And everyone, when they hear the sermon and they hear the call to enter the gate, they are either going to obey the command or they will disobey the command. This is a clear command from our Lord Jesus Christ. He says you have to enter. He says you can't just stay on the outside and admire the sermon. You can't just kind of hang out and say, oh, that's such good teaching, Jesus. And he didn't even say that you have to enter church, did he? Just because you enter church don't mean you enter into the gate. The command is enter the gate, who is Jesus. Even though this is a command, we still have to choose, though. He does give us a choice, and we do have to choose. And those who are here who are hold to Reformed theology, just calm down. Because we know there are two choices in salvation, God's choosing of us and us choosing of him. So calm down, but it doesn't absolve our responsibility of choosing which way to go. We all have a choice. No more important choice than this. You can't evade the choice. You can't run from the choice. Every human on the planet must choose. Listen to what Moses said to the people in Israel in Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. In essence, that's what Jesus has said to us today, and he's saying to you today. He has laid before us blessing, cursing, life, and death, and everyone in this room must choose life or death. to go home and consider next week is to choose death today. You walk out of this place today choosing one or the other. There is no middle road. There is no considering the things that you said today, Jesus. We're walking out with a choice today. Life or death, obey or disobey. And the reality here this morning is we're not all on the same rope. We're not. We're not all in this room on the same rope. Which way are you on today? That's a consideration I want you to think about for just a few minutes. We're going to respond here. I'm going to let the band's going to come up. And so this is one of those clear ones. Jesus says, enter the gate. All right? Enter the gate. There is no ambiguity here. What is he really calling us to do today here? No, this is a very clear call. Choose which way. And if you are in the middle, like sometimes you're on this way and sometimes you're over on this way. No, you are on the way to death. If you're in the middle, you're on the way to death. There is no in-between middle mushy road here. It is one or the other. Which road are you on today? There is only one way to enter the narrow gate, the hard way that leads to life. And again, I said it 3 or 4 or 5 times today. It is only by trusting and putting your faith in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that you enter into life. Good people don't get in. Jesus is the only one that can undig your grave. It's all Jesus. So today, if you want to enter the gate, who is Jesus today, the path to life, I'm going to give you just a moment to do that. Before I give some response time, let me address the Christian for just a moment. Some of you are like, yeah, I know this. I've already kind of chosen my pathway. Let me ask you this. Can people in your life tell which path you're on? Or do you just look like everybody else and then you go to church on Sunday? Can they tell that you're a fool for Christ? That's some examination stuff going on. Can they tell if you're walking on the middle road? Let me ask you another question, Christian. Are you warning others about the dangers of walking on the easy street? The easy path that leads to death. Are you warning anyone? God's redemptive plan to change the pathway of which people are walking on is by you and me sharing the gospel. We are his chosen method to get people off of the road to death, on to the way of life. So were you telling anybody? Are you more concerned with converting the country than your coworker? Or are you more shook up about the nation or your neighbor who is an atheist? We are God's chosen instrument to tell people the way of life. Who are you telling about the way of life? For you, Christian, I'm going to give you some examination time here to do that. But I want to give a very specific opportunity for those who are here today that might be ready and willing and feel God calling them and saying, enter into the gate. They're going to sing a song in just a minute. It's called My Redeemer. And it speaks to the exclusivity of Christ. It's all about Christ. It reemphasizes everything that we've said today. And so at any point, if you say, I am ready to enter into the gate of life, you can do a couple of things today. I'm going to go down here. Jordan's going to be down here, one of our pastors. If you're a deacon in the church, that maybe someone's told you, I need you to go to the back of the room and stand up and make yourself identifiable. We want to give you the opportunity today to get up and enter into the gate. No matter how few people do it, we want to give you that opportunity to do that today. So you could do that in just a moment. You could do that through prayer, through the song. Get up, let us know. You could tell us on the way out. If you miss your chance here, you could fill out a card if you want to do that. But a lot of ways that you can respond today to Jesus' command, enter the narrow gate today. Let me pray for us. Father, you are the God of salvation. And you have already set before us heaven and earth, time and space, and everyone who will come to you, you already know these things. So God, I just pray that there are some here today that have heard your sermon, your command to come and enter the gates today of eternal life. God, what a great day for you to save. Please do that, God. We beg you. God, help us as followers of the way to be more serious about the things of you, about sharing you to those around us, that we would not let introvertedness or fear or the approval of people keep us from sharing. We live lives for your glory. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name.